If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Texans who are in areas that have been declared as evacuation areas. It could be your local official who has declared an emergency evacuation. You need to heed that call.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott among the chorus of voices of officials telling residents to get out of the way of Hurricane Harvey. The storm strengthening now to Category 3 status, making it a major hurricane. This reporter on the beach near Corpus Christi, where the storm is already coming in.
The storm surge here expected to be between 6 and 12 feet tonight. Pretty sure all of this beach will be underwater by midnight when the storm is supposed to make landfall.
The White House saying President Trump has been in close contact with the governors of both Louisiana and Texas. The president is now scheduled to head to Texas to view damage from Hurricane Harvey at some point early next week. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Sometimes, what you want most from your car is nothing. No headaches, no surprises, no anxiety when it's late at night and you're on some distant freeway in a thunderstorm. That bit of nothing is everything. And that's what you get when you purchase a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz from your authorized dealer. Because only an authorized Mercedes-Benz dealership has the skilled technicians to certify that your pre-owned vehicle is up to Mercedes-Benz standards. Only Mercedes-Benz can back their certified pre-owned vehicles with an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 5 years, with roadside assistance included. It's time to experience confidence that's as unlimited as the warranty. Visit the certified pre-owned sales event now through August 31st, and you'll receive 2 years of prepaid maintenance and special financing available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services, only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
Insurance company Aetna could be in serious trouble because of a mistake in their mailings. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
Several legal organizations say in a news release Aetna mailed envelopes in multiple states that showed the HIV status of its customers through a window on the envelopes. Aetna's apologized for what it calls the mailing issue. It says it's taking measures to make sure that, quote, something like this never happens again. I'm Chris Barnes.
President Trump is launching a campaign to overhaul U.S. tax policy. An administration official tells Bloomberg the president will launch his campaign Wednesday in Springfield, Missouri. It's expected to be the first of several presidential stops around the country in the coming weeks. The official said Trump's not expected to give specifics on a new tax plan, but will instead rally support for broad themes like middle-class tax cuts, simplifying the tax code, and making businesses more competitive to spur job growth. Get more news and analysis online at usaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com.
If you were flying into any location in the path of Hurricane Harvey, well, you may be able to make changes to your plane tickets without extra cost. Here's Mark Mayfield.
Harvey is expected to make landfall near Corpus Christi late Friday night or early Saturday. A number of U.S. airlines have put flexible rebooking policies into action for flyers whose plans are disrupted. The policies vary by airline, but generally allow customers to make one change to their travel plans free of charge. Customers should check with their specific airline for details. This storm is expected to impact travel at airports in Houston, San Antonio, Austin, and New Orleans, among others.
Jens Stoltenberg, the head of NATO, spoke to reporters about the commitment of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization to stop terrorism worldwide.
That is why NATO remains committed to preventing Afghanistan from again becoming a safe haven for international terrorism, and why we train Iraqi officers to counter terrorism in their country.
A Christian photographer in Wisconsin has won a court case against laws forcing Christian photographers to participate in gay wedding ceremonies. The court ruled because the photographer does not have a storefront, instead working out of her private home, she is exempt from Wisconsin's anti-discrimination laws. The Alliance Defending Freedom, who represented the photographer in her case, says the ruling shows the government can't tell artists what they have to promote with their artistic expression. While the ruling only impacts that part of Wisconsin, the ADF calls it a major ruling for religious freedom. USA Radio News.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, good afternoon. Let's talk about the weather. And this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful weather weekend. And get out as off the couch, as Bill Wolfson would say. But, you know, we're also winding down the summer. We had a lot of rain, lots of washed out weekends, lots of washed out nights, you know, the concerts at Deer Park, they've had to cancel or, you know, shut them down early. So in any event, so tonight, if it was looking cloudy and the possibility of rain, but on our forecast, it just simply says partly cloudy tonight. So one of the fun things to do on a Friday night is to go to Clinton and stroll and listen to the musicians. And of course, tomorrow, I have to promote, because I really enjoy it, is Howell Farm. There's a scheduled potato harvest. It's been rescheduled from last Saturday. And if you haven't been at the Howell Living Farm, it's really a very interesting place. It's an organic farm. Looks like farms did back in the 30s or even earlier. But what's happened is a plant potatoes in April. There's volunteers that do it. And then tomorrow we have the opportunity to, I guess I say pick potatoes, but it's basically, you know, scoop them out. The horses go through the fields, they open up the furrows, and what's really fun is to see the kids who run down and with their buckets and pick up potatoes. And since it's sports guys, I guess I should say that a lot of them also throw a few back and forth and play catch. But that's something 10 to 4 tomorrow on the 26th of August, tomorrow. And if you have any questions, call 609-737-3299. And, you know, volunteers, adults, children are welcome. You know, if you don't want to go out in the fields and pick potatoes, there's a group of people who, you know, just kind of clean them off and, you know, because then they're put in bags and given to the food pantries. And this is owned and supported by Mercer County, just south of Lambertville, right off of Route 29, make the turn near the work house. But call. I'm sure if you have children and grandchildren, especially, you know, little up until, well, teenagers don't usually want to do anything. But I think they'd have fun. You'll have fun. They get to make their own potato chips. And so that's my suggestion for tomorrow. And actually, Bill Wolfson has just walked in. So, as I said, weather is going to be great this weekend, and I'm happy to see that Bill is joining me. I didn't think he was going to be in today. So anyway, we'll talk about the sports guys. And one of the things that I was going to talk about, Bill, since you're such a baseball fan, do you this is basketball, so you're not a big basketball fan. I don't know if I have the same statistic with respect to they're out of the 483,000 boys who play baseball in high school. Do you know the number who will play Division I after they get out of high school?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Well, it's actually higher than I thought. 1 in 47, which is a lot when you think about it. I guess there are a lot of colleges. However, only 1 in 764 will play in the Major League Baseball. Actually, the statistics in football are better. Out of football, the 1.1 million boys play in high school, and 1 in 41 will play Division I football in college, and then 1 in 603 will play in the NFL. So, you know, that's the worst statistic is in the NBA. You know, there's only 1 in 860 boys who start in high school who will go on to the NBA. But anyway, how are you, Bill? And one of the things that I was going to talk about, and but since you're here, we don't have to, was the cost of kids participating in sports today. And I'm not talking about even high school. I'm just talking about the cost to families by sport. Actually, and I'm not sure why, but according to the article I read, the average cost to families for kids who play, and this is children ages 8 to 18 who play organized sports, for lacrosse it's the highest. It's almost $8,000.
Oh, it can be even worse than that for kids who are playing on travel teams who are playing ice hockey.
Well,
$8,000 to $10,000 a year is nothing.
Well, but this is just average for that, not that. In fact, joining a high school travel team can cost families upward of $3,000 per season. And, you know, they give a lot of information as to how the cost, but now some of the kids have their own coaches, their own, batting coaches. What I didn't realize is that the kids are actually, there's one little boy from South Jersey who has a $15,000 backyard batting cage. He's got a private hitting coach who charges $100 an hour. Obviously he's very good because he actually travels to nationally ranked teams based in Texas and California. So he travels thousands of miles from home to play with these kids. And guess how old he is?
14.
10.
Nope,
10 years old, and apparently, a lot of these groups are the part of the United States Specialty Sports Association, which is a nonprofit with a 501c4 status, and so it is an organization that comes under tax-exempt organizations that promote social welfare. And apparently, amazingly, it generated $13.7 million in revenue in 2015, and the CEO received $831,200 in compensation. Now, I look at this, and I've said this before, because, as you know, I came out of a small town in the Midwest where we didn't even have Little League. So as far as baseball and other sports, we all played together. Now, we didn't play official football, the girls didn't, but baseball we all played, and actually we went out and built our own field on a vacant lot just at the edge of town.
Well, you know, Pat, it's getting to be that just about everything is monetized, even down to kids having fun. One of the things that people who are engaged in a lot of different sports that might not be team sports or might not be organized sports are seeing is that fewer and fewer younger people are becoming interested in their particular activity, whereas if they can become a member of a sports team in a league or they're a traveling team, there's so much encouragement to do so. I think part of it is a love of the game, and part of it as well, they may get a college scholarship or a pro contract, because there's a lot of money floating around in sports. And just like everything else, I think this is an expensive way to have fun, and it's, you know, and for the kid who may not be a particularly good athlete, you find that they get left by the wayside. They may love the sport but get turned off because either the parents are upset about the cost or the time commitment, or you know, the kid just doesn't really enjoy it because maybe he doesn't make the right team or something like that.
Well, you talked about the costs, and it's true that families are spending more on youth sports today, but the, according to this survey, the rising costs have shut out many families. There are only participation rates by family income. Only 19% of the children whose family's income is the lower end, like under $25,000, participate, and it goes up to 41% of the children from families whose family income is over $100,000. Now, of course, most of us, you know, think of all of the football, in my case, football players who came from poverty, and even and the basketball players who came from poverty. So I'm sure that, you know, there are some organizations out there that are, you know, helping these kids and helping them with shoes and equipment and stuff. But that's pretty amazing that there's that discrepancy between families whose incomes are under $25,000 and families whose incomes are over $100,000. So, you know, and what's, of course, also interesting to me is that I know that there are many families now who are not allowing their children to participate in sports because of their concern about head injuries.
Oh, so, certainly. As good as you can make a helmet or any other protective gear, you're still going to get hurt. And getting hurt is just part of participating in any sport, as far as I'm concerned. I can't think of any sport where there isn't at least some slight risk of injury, even running.
Well, and that's understandable. And, I mean, there's a slight risk of injury, you know, climbing the stairs, walking. I mean, you know, almost anything. In fact,
you can't live your life wrapped in cotton.
No, but even if you sat on a couch all the time, there's going to be a risk of injury. It might be, you know, different type, but it, you know, you just, you know, I think people need to be careful. I'm glad that the helmets are getting much better and the equipment is getting much better, and the recognition that people should use equipment and appropriate equipment. And this goes to everything. I mean, you know, obviously, in my view, bicycle riding. Now, when I call bike riding, I mean motorcycles. And it's still amazing to me that there will be people who ride bikes, meaning motorcycles, without helmets.
Now, well, drive down the state of Delaware, and you're not required to wear a helmet. Now, I think that's crazy because, you know, one good head injury and you're paralyzed and you're in a hospital or extended care for the rest of your life, and it's going to cost millions of dollars to take care of you.
And generally that will be picked up by the public. But anyway, let's get back to regular sports. What do you have to lead off with today?
Well, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about my Philadelphia Eagles, and not just my Eagles, but my fellow Eagle fans. There was a report in the Philadelphia.com website, which is both the Inquirer, or the Inky, as we like to call it in Philly, and the Daily News, which some of us call that rag, and others of us like to put on the bottom of bird cages or underdogs. And speaking of underdogs, there was a Philadelphia fan, Eagles fan, who lived in South Jersey. And unfortunately, he developed cancer and fought it for a number of years and passed away. And his dying wish, as expressed in his will, was that at his funeral, there'd be 8 Philadelphia Eagle pallbearers, because that would be the last time the team would ever let him down.
Okay, we're good. That's a pretty bad joke. But for that, we have to go and have our listeners suffer through a few of our spots.
Can we talk more about Eagles?
No.
We've got to talk about our sponsors, of course. Okay.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambee's. Purely delicious.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, we're back, the sports guys, and guess who didn't get here at 5 o'clock as he promised? But we hope John Manfreda will be here shortly because actually I wanted to talk to him a little bit about the monument debate that's being pushed to rename the street that is Yawkey Way in Boston. So I'm sure John will have something to say about that. But in any event, so we're talking about your Eagles. You told us one of the worst jokes I've ever heard. But it's true. But who knows what's going to happen. It's a whole new season. At this point, I think I'm going to go to Green Bay to see New Orleans play, even though I have tickets for the game for Tampa.
How are you going to manage that?
Well, I mean, I'll get tickets.
Swap them?
No, well, so far I can't get them swapped because Tampa game is in December, and, you know, I guess nobody thinks that it depends on what happens in the early games, and people also say, who wants to come to Florida, from Florida to Green Bay in December? So who knows, but in any event, worst case scenario, we give our tickets to the Boys Club.
Well,
as a donation. So
that's always a nice thing to do.
Well, you know, believe me, you know, somehow Packer, the Lambeau Stadium is, I've never seen it not full. In fact, what amazes me, I don't know if you've been watching some of the preseason games and how few people are in some of those games. I mean, the only game that I saw part of the game in Dallas, and that there were a lot of fans in Dallas. But some of these are, you know, it's really should be almost embarrassing. You know, you realize why people don't want to travel to go to the preseason games. I certainly don't. I've done it, but I'm not going to do it anymore.
Unless you have a family member who's playing on one of the teams and might make one of the teams in the preseason, I can't see a good reason to go.
Well, I think diehard fans who have season tickets, sometimes they'll go because they like to watch the players from the very beginning. And, you know, that's the way you do it now, preseason, not, you know, first game of the season. And I remember my husband Dave always talks about the first time he saw Ray Nitschke. And, of course, that was in a game. But back then, they didn't play preseason games. So what is happening with your Yankees these days?
Well, you know, the Yankees are probably going to end up being a wild card team. I hate to say that, although they took 2 out of 3 from Detroit in the last game. You would have thought a hockey game was going to start. Thursday night, Comerica Field, top of the fourth. Gary Sanchez homers to left field off of Detroit pitcher Fulmer. Top of the fifth, Fulmer hits Sanchez with a pitch on his front side. Sanchez frowns and glares at Fulmer. Bottom of the sixth, Yankee relief pitcher Conley, a new acquisition, throws behind Miguel Cabrera and gets immediately ejected from the game. They tossed him out in a heartbeat. The Yankee manager, Joe Girardi, comes storming out of the dugout to argue the ejection, and he himself gets tossed from the game. Then after Conley's replacement, Aroldis Chapman, warms up, Cabrera comes to the plate. And Cabrera and Austin Romaine exchange words. Romaine stands up, removes his mask. Cabrera shoves Romaine and throws a punch at him. The two start wrestling. Sanchez comes out of the dugout to defend his fellow catcher and sucker punches Cabrera while he's on the ground. So Romaine and Cabrera both get ejected. Nobody sees the sucker punch that Sanchez throws that hits Miguel Cabrera. Bottom of the seventh. Here we go, folks. Dellin Betances of the Yankees hits James McCann with a 98-mile-an-hour fastball in the helmet. The bench is clear, and here comes the bench-clearing brawl. Betances and Bob Thompson, the bench coach, get in it, Yankee bench coach, and they both get kicked out. Top of the eighth inning, Tiger reliever Alex Wilson hits Yankee third baseman Todd Frazier in the upper right thigh. Wilson and Azmuth both get tossed out of the game, and here comes another fight. And because it's his birthday, Brett Gardner gets into the fight. Now, Brett, at the age of 34, still seems to like a good baseball fight. Now, I did not get to watch the whole game, but when I walked into the 7-Eleven to get my newspaper at lunchtime, having heard about the fight, I could not wait to grab my New York Post. And the guy behind the counter, I don't know if he's from India or Pakistan, says to me, because he knows I'm a baseball fan, "Did you see the fights?" And I said, "Which ones?" He said, "Detroit and the Yankees." And we both stood there, and as ESPN came on the television in the 7-Eleven, we watched the eighth inning brawl. And I said to him, my friend, "You're from India, right?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Don't they have fights in cricket?" He said, "Sometimes, yeah, when you get hit with that ball." And then he proceeded to take 20 minutes while there were customers all lined up, and he showed me how to throw different, I guess you call them pitches in cricket. The pitcher is actually called a bowler in cricket. I just learned that today. And there's all kinds of neat pitches, which we think of as curveballs and knuckleballs and fastballs, and they've got whole different names for them. But enough of what's left of the British Empire.
Okay, and what I want to know, since you're a Yankee fan, and, you know, what do you have to say about the fact that Chapman is removed as the Yankees' closer? And, I understand that, there was another meager performance by him last Friday, but the Yankees were already, losing. He didn't lose the game, but he lost his job.
Right. Here's what's going on. He's having some mechanical problems. He may even be having some self-confidence problems, but he's still throwing a fastball at over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, but isn't he throwing... The problem isn't the problem with his fastball, not that I know much about it, but isn't that that he's throwing too many fastballs, what they call above the letters, instead of, right at the knees.
Right. And, if he keeps the ball low, it may get hit, but a lot of times the batter is going to beat the ball into the ground, and it's a whole lot easier to get a ground ball and get an out than just to get a fly ball and get an out, because fly balls can leave the park.
Well, and why doesn't he have a mix of sliders and change-ups along with the fastball?
I think that's because, to some extent, he's having problems with his mechanics, and his slider and curb aren't moving the way they would like, or the batters can see him coming. Sometimes it's also maybe the way the pitcher is standing before he delivers. Batters are picking up on it. And, you watch enough tape of these guys, you can begin to understand some of their tendencies, and you can begin to figure out just what pitch is coming. And, it's late in the season. It's the end of August. It's already been a long season. They've all played, 125 games already? And they're beginning to wear down. And, we all need to take a deep breath and realize, although this is a good Yankee team, nobody expected them to do as well as they did this year. They're, as far as I'm concerned, ahead of where they should be. As they say in casinos, you're playing with the bank's money at this point. I didn't expect the Yankees to be even contending for a wild card.
But at this point, I mean, they obviously need some great closers. And my understanding is he's even giving up hits against left-handers, which, you know, that used to be one of his really strong suits, right?
That's right. Usually he gets left-handers out or he gets them to beat a ground ball into the ground, and it'll go through the infield. But he's also, if you'll notice, giving up walks, which means he's not hitting his spots. There's something mechanically wrong. I'd sit him down for a couple of games, let him get his head clear like they had to do with Gary Sanchez and like they had to do with Aaron Judge, and see what happens. Meanwhile, you've got Mike Bird coming back Monday night, although he may be back tonight after his being on the disabled list because of his ankle injury and his rehab assignment. And then on top of that, you've got Starlin Castro coming back after he was banged up for a while. So you know, some turnover in with the Yankee lineup and some turnover in a very long season. The other thing, too, is what's going to happen with Chase Headley when Greg Bird starts playing first again? Are they going to platoon these guys? Joe Girardi is very good at moving around his pitchers and his infielders. So what's been happening is that I think Girardi will continue pushing buttons and getting them as much out of his team as he possibly can. And I'm pleasantly surprised that they're going to be in a wild card game.
Okay. Well, you know, you want to know my opinion as to why Chapman is struggling?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, it's because he left the Cubs.
Oh, well, that explains everything.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You know, what do you think? He's homesick.
He brought the curse of the Billy Goat with him.
Exactly. That's it.
After it was removed from the Cubs and they were the world champs last season, they're in first place this year, but they're a far shadow of them of their last year's version of the Cubs, in my humble opinion.
Well, I think you're right, but then they lost some talent.
They
really lost, you know, they both, Chris Sale was a big...
Chris Sale went over to the Red Sox. He's been great for them.
And, you know, so that was a big loss. And frankly, so was Chapman. So, you know, those were certainly losses that, you know, were significant to
the
Cubs.
You can take those two guys, put them back on the Cubs, and maybe you have another 10 wins.
I agree. I mean, I think that, but that's always the problem when, you know, teams excel. I mean, I know it better in football than I do in baseball, but you look at the roster, you know, a year or 2 years after, you know, somebody has won the Super Bowl, and it's often amazing how many players are no longer with the team within a year, 2 years, or especially 3 years after they win the Super Bowl. And so to have to, you know, when you're talking about building a team, you know, I can't imagine that they are not hurt by some of those losses. Now, sometimes it's free agency, and sometimes it's just the team thinking that they want to, you know, replace someone who's they can still get money, or maybe they're worried about their cap in football, at least. But, you know, those were two things, two people that I was pleasantly surprised or am pleasantly surprised how well the Cubs have done this year with the loss of Sale and Chapman.
Well, yeah, and remember something else too, Pat. When you have real success with a professional sports team, the players want to capitalize on that success, and rightfully so. It's their on-the-field accomplishments that got the team there and got the extra games and the extra revenue.
But I really think it's you know, I guess I think it has hurt sports. I mean, you know, they didn't have the number of trades as kids, at least. I don't know how they handle that fact that, you know, as soon as they're loyal or following somebody, you know, they may be with another team the next year. So are you a fan of the team, or, you know, do you follow the players? You know, that was never, when I was growing up, that was really not a situation, because you knew that basically, at least with the Packers, the guys would stay with the team until they retired. I mean, there wasn't, unless I'm just getting older and don't remember, I mean, certainly there were some trades, but usually what I found happened with the Packers is there was some reason, often some reason, not sports related, as to why some of these excellent players were traded. It often had to do with their personal conduct, which was kept under wraps, but was there nonetheless.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. We have all sorts of interesting problems with teams that are, you know, are successful one year and then they want to repeat, and they just can't seem to do it. So what happens is that they, you know, people get injured, people get a little older, people get all kinds of other problems that come along, and you never really know where things are going for them. So what I see is that when a player has these problems, what you have to, particularly a crucial player, maybe the mix changes, maybe the somebody gets a little older, they lose a step, or maybe somebody gets hurt, because injuries play so much a part in whether a team is good or great. The Yankees are a good team, but they've had a lot of injuries. They've had some tough breaks over the season. They've also had some people not really work out for them, and like Chris Carter, who is now gone. But they've had Aaron Judge have a terrific first half, although he tailed off after the All-Star game, the All-Star curse. Gary Sanchez, who was so-so during the early season, has now picked the Yankees up and has been helping them pretty well. And, you know, between the injuries to guys like Starlin Castro and Greg Bird, it's been a much different season than any of us expected. Actually, it's been a better season than I expected, as I've said before. So the Yankees are doing pretty good. Meanwhile, we ought to talk just a little bit about the New York Mets and the Mets' amazing nightmare. Remember, the Mets were a wild card team last year, and yet they've gone from bad to worse this year. First of all, in left field, Yiannis Cepedes lost 36 games with a strained hamstring. Their shortstop, Asdrubal Cabrera, lost 19 games with a sprained thumb that he was out. At third base, David Wright, with a shoulder problem, missed 126 games. Wilmer Flores missed 12 games with a knee problem. In center field, Juan Lagares missed 47 games because of a fractured joint in his thumb. And Brandon Nimmer missed 52 games with a strained hamstring and a punctured lung.
You know, that's pretty, amazing.
It is a pretty dangerous thing. Michael Conforto missed 9 games in right field with a bruised left wrist. At second, Neil Walker, 36 games with a partially torn hamstring. TJ Rivera, 26 games with a partially torn UCL ligament. Jose Reyes, 10 games with a sore rib cage. At first, Lucas Duda lost 20 games with a hyperextended elbow. The catcher, Travis d'Arnaud, lost 7 games with a bruised wrist. In the bullpen, Jairus Familia lost 68 games because of a blood clot. Josh Smoker missed 36 games because of a shoulder strain. Noah Syndergaard lost 102 games. He's their best starting pitcher, in my opinion. 102 games he couldn't participate in because of a partially torn lat muscle.
Well, when you think about that, and I guess it's because they play so many more games, but, you know, that's astonishing. I had no idea that there were that many injuries, and, you know, that's more than in football. But talking about injuries and things, I'm hoping that we're still on the air, because somehow some of our equipment has gone down. So let's see if we can play a few spots from a couple of our sponsors, because I think they're going to shut us off quickly.
Well, let's not get too many more opportunities.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off a Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
But if we do, I may be
We're
able to make
back.
It. I'm going to be around.
For the sports guys, and guess who showed up on time?
I made a guest appearance on my own show.
John,
what can I tell
Frieda,
you? Good afternoon,
John,
Bill and Pat.
Exciting.
It's an exciting. Now, the latest within the past 2 hours are the suspensions doled out by Joe Torre in Major League Baseball for brawl in Detroit.
Detroit Tigers were going to sit out a couple days.
Well, the Yankees were all upset because Sanchez and Romine, I guess, got some suspensions. And you throw punches, you're going to be suspended. And that's.
What do they think this is, hockey?
Yeah, really. Exactly. You know, I went, remember the old adage, I went to a fight and a hockey game broke out. I went to a fight and a baseball game broke out.
Well, there you go. It occurred to me that maybe Ron Hextall was watching the Yankee Tiger game and was looking for an enforcer.
I don't know, but unfortunately, I think Miguel Cabrera did a lot of damage to his reputation because he started it. He physically assaulted the catcher.
That's right, Austin Romaine.
Yeah, and he, I think he took a big hit to his reputation in taking that action.
Not to mention a hit he took from Sanchez.
Yeah.
So what were the suspensions like?
I think Romine got either 3 or 4 games, something like that, and I believe Cabrera got 12 games, a dozen.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, it was pretty serious. I mean, you're talking about punches that can do a lot of bodily harm.
What happened to Sanchez?
I'm not sure if he got a suspension or not. I think he did, but minor, 1 or 2 games, I think. He didn't get much. But the big news was for the outrage was Romine because he was the guy who was attacked. But the analysis is that once he defended himself and had kind of staved off the attack, he then became the aggressor pounding away at Cabrera. So that's why he got – plus he took his mask off. When a catcher takes his mask off, that's an offense, I guess. It's kind of –
Really? It's like dropping your gloves at center ice?
Yeah.
Or when the goalie puts down his stick and his gloves and goes after the other goalie?
Yeah.
So what's happened with Ezekiel Elliott? Have they changed his 6 suspensions?
I had not heard if they even filed an appeal.
Oh,
I don't know.
I think they did.
I'm not sure.
I don't think they've resolved that yet.
I don't think they have resolved it, no.
Because I know, would that suspension include A preseason game?
No.
I didn't.
No, 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 regular season. Everybody knows preseason doesn't mean anything.
Because he was on the field, but I didn't recall that he played. He might have played in the preseason. What I had said to Bill is, in looking at some of the preseason games, not much of them, but some of them, it's amazing to me how few spectators there are.
People are realizing that they're paying regular season prices for games that are meaningless because the teams, well, now with this Beckham thing, these guys are getting hurt.
Right.
And so they're not going to play them. They're not going to play them.
Really something. I mean, that.
Well, for the most part, and I can't remember the name of the defensive back that hit him, but they said it was a perfectly legal hit.
It was
perfectly clean hit. But what it stands for is the proposition that your prized players, especially somebody like a wide receiver who was not as a husky athletic, like an offensive lineman or something, that they shouldn't play these guys. They can't take the punishment. So you're going to find fewer and fewer of these players, especially the star players, who aren't going to play.
Well, and I can't remember, when did he get hit? How long had he been
in the
game?
This was last weekend.
No. I know that. But how long had he been in the game? That I didn't remember.
I don't remember it.
Well, because what
football often, they come in and out. So
but often
might have been his first or second play. Don't know.
But that's generally what the point is. Usually, the first stringers only come in for a very short time. Now,
a couple of series.
Yeah, but I didn't remember. I thought that was more than the first
couple. I actually didn't
series.
See the game pass, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I think to your point about the spectator, and I don't know, Bill, maybe that's not it, but I think that certainly is a factor. They know they're not seeing quality players or quality competition.
But unless you have season tickets, I know that the Packers have changed. Their preseason games now are less. They cost less.
And I think that is only justifiable.
Right. Well, I do too. And, of course, especially for those of us who don't know what game, you know, we're in a lottery and we don't know what game.
Right.
And it can be a preseason unless you've had preseason the year before.
Right.
So that they are.
Which is fair.
Which is
so
fair.
So you're guaranteed a game this year if you win the lottery.
We did win. We know our game is December with
Tampa. Oh, that's right. That's
so we're going to go out and we're going to, you know, bite the bullet, we'll go out and buy tickets because we want to see New Orleans.
Yeah.
I was thinking of seeing Minnesota in Minnesota, but Dave said no way is he going to go to a Packer game in Minnesota.
Yeah, that
it would
doesn't
be
sound
almost.
As a Cowboy in Philadelphia or
almost as bad as going to a Packer game in Philadelphia.
That'd be almost like looking for a kosher restaurant in the Vatican.
So,
I don't know, Bill. I think you might find one there, actually.
What else is happening in sports?
Well, you know, we've got some interesting stuff going on in the world of sports. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about this weekend and getting up off that couch. We're supposed to get some beautifully cool late summer weather, giving us a taste of late September. It's going to be in the 70s and probably down into the 60s tonight. I can tell you Monday and Sunday I was at Island Beach State Park, a beautiful place, had great ocean swimming, spent almost 2.5 hours in the water swimming around, doing some body surfing, and my wife and I took the ride all the way to the end to the Barnegat Inlet, almost to the Barnegat Inlet, I should say. So we were landlubbers for the day, and I noticed that there are some really cool things you can do there. First of all, there's a place where you can get a kayak or a canoe and go out among what's called the Sedge Islands.
And the state beach?
The state park. On the
well,
state
let
beach.
Me ask you, though, what time? I remember we used to do that when our children were little, but you had to get there so early in the morning or else the parking lots were closed
but
down.
You know something? It's not just the swimming area. If they close them off, that's one.
No, they close it once they have the number of cars in there. They close the park. You cannot go in.
But if that's just the swimming areas. If you're going to the end, like you're going to go to one of the boat launches to go kayaking or.
But how do you tell them? Because they actually have the gate closed. At least they used to. They would close the gate.
That was then. This is now.
So now...
Now, if you're not going to the beach, but you're going to go fish, or you're going to go...
But how do they know?
Something else, because you tell them. And for those of us who are over 62, I can only speak for myself, you get the pass, you get in for free, including your whole carload. So
you're saying that any one of the, for example, here, Round Valley Reservoir, Spruce Run, if you're over 62, you can get a pass from where?
You get a pass at any park office, state park office front gate. You simply show them proof of age and your date of birth, and they will issue you the card.
Wow,
that's a real cool thing. Now, Island Beach State Park is not just for swimming and water sports. They take people on nature walks. There are nature hikes through trails in the dunes. They will take you on bird watching expeditions. There's a tremendous amount of wildlife. We saw, as we were leaving the park at about almost 7 o'clock, it started to be a little dark. It was the day of the eclipse, Monday the 21st. We had watched the eclipse at the park, which was kind of neat, standing on the beach watching it get just a little darker and then brightened up again. But what was really interesting is we actually saw a fox trotting along the road on the way out of the park and then disappear into the dunes. I didn't realize that there were foxes there. They've got signs all over it, don't feed the foxes. Got red foxes. The other thing that's really cool is they have tours you can take where the naturists take you around and show you all sorts of things, including where the seals come ashore once weather gets cold. And they even caution you if you're going to bring your dog, keep him or her on a leash because the seals bite.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's got to be something I don't want to see. I wouldn't want to see a dog that I had get into a fight with a seal.
So, guys, what do we have? We're almost out of time. So what do we have? Football season in about another...
2 weeks, I guess. Yeah.
And,
amazing.
I'm not sure whether we'll be back next Friday or not. Maybe we'll all take off. I'm not sure whether the chamber is open on Friday. I know it's certainly... Don't tell me it's Labor Day a week from Monday.
It's amazing.
Please.
The summer has a week to go.
Oh, I don't think so. The best boating is after all the power boaters leave after Labor Day.
Yeah, but, you know, the courts are, you know, we're all lawyers, and I don't know about you, but, you know, I've had a very busy summer, and then the courts say they really get in gear in September. So, any event, we're probably have... just one more minute. And John, too bad you weren't here earlier, because I was going to tell you the Sports Saturday in the New York Times was, is clock ticking on Yawkey Way?
Yeah, they now, all these signs, they're tearing down, Confederate statues, and the flags have to come down. Now they want to start changing street signs. And the next thing is, are they going to tear down the Egyptian pyramids because they were built with slave labor?
Now, I think there's, I think there's a bit of a difference there. But in any event,
Tom Yawkey was a philanthropist. He benefited thousands of people. And when he died, the Red Sox are held in a charitable trust. And when they were sold for $1 billion, all of that money went to all major charities in the country.
Well, you know, the real comedy here is when an amazing American institution like ESPN doesn't want an Asian American broadcaster named Robert Lee broadcasting the University of Virginia football game from Charlottesville because his name is Robert Lee. Now, number one, he's Asian. Number two, I don't think his parents were around here during the Civil War, even his great-great-parents. His grandparents are back in China, perhaps. Number three, he spells his name L-E-Y. And number four, he has nothing to do with the Confederacy, but the ESPN has gotten so timidly politically correct to the point of absolute